plan would be throughout the year to come from time to time and give you a few more examples, hoping that in between the times I come, you have time to practice and so on, so that now you probably have more questions about Mathematica that you, of course, should ask me. But and today, the exercise, the example that I planned on showing you was how to implement Feynman diagrams, namely weak contractions with Mathematica. So you all know Feynman diagrams now, right? So you all know how to do weak contractions, right? Weak's theorem, that's okay for everyone. Is it a fair statement? So now it will be interesting to see, say, if you have lambda phi to the 4, we bring down two vertices, say, and we want to compute a three-point function or a four-point function, right? And we want to start drawing all possible Feynman diagrams with all the correct symmetry factors and so on, but we are afraid of doing mistakes and we want Mathematica to help us out with that. So suppose I want to compute, say, Feynman diagram for two-point function on a phi to the 4. I have this graph, and if I allow for disconnected graphs, I would have, for example, also this interaction here. Right? This would be in a theory where my action, my Lagrangian, would be some integral. There will be some kinetic term that would give rise to the propagators, and then some lambda phi to the 4. Typically, we normalize it always with 1 over n factorial, where n is the degree of the interaction. That's just for convention to keep track of all the symmetry factors. And then you would have this kind of graph and this kind of graph and so on, right? So this would be the graphs at order lambda. Then at order lambda square, you would start having what? At order lambda square, let's see. You would start having something like this. For example, again for a two-point function, plus etc. So this would be here, order lambda. This would be order lambda square. And then we have symmetry factors, for example. Here we know that we have a symmetry factor that we can exchange all these three lines between themselves, right? And the graph remains invariant. Well, the way I draw it, it doesn't look very symmetric, but it's fine. But you can exchange all these lines. So this graph we know comes with a 1 over 3 factorial, for example, over the exchange over the three lines. This one I can exchange. I have a symmetry here around this line. So this comes with a factor of 1/2 and so on. And the more complicated the graphs become, the more insecure you might become about symmetry factors, the more insecure you will be about the possibility of having forgotten graphs and so on. So then Mathematica might be very useful. And our goal is to implement in Mathematica all these weak contractions and drawing these graphs and so on. So I give you some Lagrangian with some interactions. You choose what you want to compute, say two-point function, three-point function, four-point function. You start bringing down interactions from the Lagrangian, doing weak contractions, and we want to make sure we don't forget anything. Okay? Very good. So let's start then with Mathematica. Maybe before we start, I can ask you if you have any questions that you want me to address during today's lecture about obstacles that you faced with Mathematica so far or whatever. No? Just one more thing. I'm not sure. Are we expecting more people to come? I see that only a small fraction of you are here. No? You don't know? People are already on holidays. Very good. So we'll do weak contractions. Okay. So again, as usual, let me ask you, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to type while we go, or should I type and then give you the notebook?
Type notebook.
What do you prefer? Do you want to type as we go, or no? No? Very good. So half don't come, and the other half doesn't work. I'm joking. Very good. Okay, so then please, so then you can focus on what I'm doing. Another option is the first half, I make it slower, and then we speed up, and then you can type the first half if you want. But I see that some of you don't have computers and so on. Let's just follow what I'm typing, and that's fine. So we have some, typically some action, as we wrote, which is some integral.
Would you mind increasing the size?
Okay, we have some integral, and then we have something like this, right? Lambda over n factorial, phi to the n, eventually plus some bracket, plus something. So this is our kind of action that we have. This is the kind of things we want to study. So what happens when we compute correlation functions of phi do you want momentum space or position space? It's irrelevant. We are focused on drawing graphs. It doesn't matter, but say momentum space. K1, K2, K3, and for such theory. Okay. So this is the kind of things we want to do. Very good. So we can start some section about functions and notation. So this is where we will have all our functions that we will create to do with contractions, to expand the fields, and so on. Of course, we will do it once and then close this section and then open a section where we do the actual computations. So let's prepare already two sections, one where we put functions and notation, and another one where we put computing the weak contractions. Okay, very good. So we can start by the second one, by writing exactly what we want to compute, so that then we know exactly what kind of functions and what kind of notation we need. So let's denote something, two weak, for example, two weak, which is what we want to weak contract. Okay? And this two weak can be, for example, phi of k1 times phi of k2 times, say, if we do that example there, times a vertex with four fields. Now, how do we do a vertex with four fields? Let's use some auxiliary variable. Okay. So let me see. K. So now, if we have a vertex, what do we put at a given vertex? Well, we bring down this phi to the 4. So here we put phi of some auxiliary variables, q1, phi of q2, phi of q3, times phi of q4, with a constraint that they all add up to 0. Right? Now, whenever we put a vertex, we have to use some letter to denote that vertex. We can use k and then put some funny index that will remind us that that is a vertex. So phi of k with index alpha 1. Okay, this can be the analog of that q1, alpha 2, alpha 3, and alpha 4. Okay, sorry.
Gotcha.
1 second. Yes.
How come you are choosing for the k's to be types of objects that have arguments of 1 and 2?
I'm thinking of the index, k index 1, to be k of 1. Okay? That's my notation. To indicate k index 1 means k of 1.
It looks to me like k is a function of something that has an argument 1.
If you want, no. An index I can represent however I want. I could do this, for example, if you prefer. K1, K2, and stuff like this, for example, right? So I could this five K1. I could call K index 1 just K1. That's exactly the same thing. K of 1 is an object. It's K with index 1. Now, but indeed, as Nicole is pointing out, this is a bit ugly to read. You have phi of K of 1. Okay, k of 1 is k1, k of 2 is k2, k of alpha 1 is k with index alpha 1. It's a new kind of k. You see, these last four k's are associated to the vertex. But this is kind of ugly to read. What we would like is something like k index 1. Okay? Let me try something before explaining what I want to explain, just to make sure that... Okay. What we would like is k index 1. So one option is to just write k index 1, and then we could use this instead of this case. Now, it's very dangerous, and I really do recommend using subscript. Because the way Mathematica thinks about a subscript is the following. If we ask, what is full form of this? It's a function called subscript applied to two arguments. One of them is k, one is 1. Okay, it tells that you put a 1 on a k. So if you take a derivative with respect to k of this expression, you expect this to be 0, because this is not k, this is k1. So if you take derivative of this expression with respect to k, you want this to be 0. But no, it tells you that this is the derivative with respect to the first argument of the function subscript evaluated at k and 1. of course, it's a bit kind of nonsense. So what you can do is call the notation package. Okay, so we call the notation package. When we call it, what happens is that this palette here on the right appears, and you have some notation appearing. You click the first one, and now you can introduce some notation and can say that for you, ki stands for k of I. Okay? With underscore on both sides. Okay, so I call the notation package and I told Mathematica, if I write k index 1, it doesn't mean subscript, it means this. Okay? So now I'm teaching Mathematica the proper way of thinking of k1. And now, if I take derivative of k1 with respect to k, I get 0. See? So now, when I write k1, Mathematica displays as k index 1. If I convert this using this apple shift n that converts into nice expressions, remember when we had sums and products, I would use this shortcut to make them look nice. When now you make k of something look nice, Mathematica automatically displays like this. But now, if you ask what this is not subscript. If you ask, what is this? This is k of 1. See? So for Mathematica now, k index 1 means k of 1. Is it okay? Very good. So now we go to our expression and we do command shift n to convert this to nice, or I remind you how it is, cell convert to and click standard form again. And now all these indices become much nicer, right? So now all these indices here are down and I have alpha 1, alpha 2, alpha 3, alpha 4, phi k1, phi k2. Okay? Now, you see that k1, k2, k3, well, and I can run it, and this is how Mathematica displays in the output. And it is very nice. Now, suppose I want two vertices. What will I do? So is there any questions so far? Suppose I would have two vertices.
Sorry.
Yes.
It applied that to the K1, K2, but not to the alpha 1, alpha 2. Like, there's no notion of K subscript alpha subscript 1.
I could. Then I will teach there. Notation alpha of I is also alpha I.
So it's okay with two levels of subscript.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. So I could definitely add there a new line for notation and teach Mathematica that alpha index 4 is alpha to put the 4 downstairs. Okay? Or to do anything funny with a 4, to put a 4 inside a cat, to do whatever you want. Now, I'm not going to do it because for the reason that it will now become clear. So now, if we ask the following. So now, let's define our vertex. Let's say vertex is equal to this stuff here. So what is vertex? Let's say a vertex of degree n, because later we might want to do instead of phi to the 4, phi cube, or phi to the 5, or phi to the 6, so it's good to have already some parameter n. Well, it must be delayed evaluation, because set delayed, I mean, it must be set delayed because only when I tell what is n, she will know how many fields she has to multiply. And then it's phi of k, now I can use indices, no problem, of alpha of j, and I multiply this from j up to n. Okay? And I convert this into some nice line form. Okay? So this would be my vertex. Do you agree? Now, this is not good. Why this is not good? Because if I run, okay, what's a vertex? Suppose I want a vertex 4. That's perfect. But suppose I want to put two vertices. Right? So what I want is to put here two vertices. Now I get my field square, but it's not true. For one vertex, I want to use some dummy index, like alpha. For the other one, I want to use some other dummy index, say beta. I cannot use alpha for both. Right? Doesn't make sense. It's like having some tensor algebra and contracting two indices with mu, and in the same expression, two other indices with mu. I must use different letters. So, any proposal? How can I do this? Proposal. There is a simple solution and a complicated solution. Yes?
And we can have vertex take two arguments.
Very good. That's the simple solution.
Yeah.
So we can say that vertex also depends on another variable, which is what kind of letter I will use, like alpha. And then here I would say use alpha for one of the vertices and beta for the other vertex. Okay? This is fine. Why don't we use this, actually? No, because then we have to put alpha, beta, gamma, and so on. I prefer to do something. Well, let's do the other version. This is one way. It's perfectly fine to do it this way. Let's comment and keep it here in case later you want to use this one. But let me do it in another way. Let's say, whenever I ask Mathematica to compute the vertex, first define some index, some letter, find some letter that is unique, that you will only use once. How do you define a letter that is unique? Very simple, use the command unique. Unique of alpha, I run it once and it gives me some variable that Mathematica calls, in this case, alpha 6221. It's just a name of an index, like ijk, just that it doesn't run, there are always more unique variables. If I run unique alpha again, she gives me another symbol, alpha 623. I don't know why not 622, but okay, it doesn't matter, it's whatever she wants. So what I can do is, whenever I ask for a vertex, first, let's put a block here. We will define, we define some letter that we are going to use. Ooh la la, what happened? We define some letter to be equal to some unique alpha. This will be our index. And then instead of alpha, we use that letter. Okay? Is it clear? So now when I run vertex 4, I get this. K with some index, you see? In this case, alpha 626. But she uses the same alpha, the same index for all the four, which is good, because then I can keep track that this is just one vertex, right? I cannot use different indices. I cannot use for that vertex, it's useful to use Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. If I use Q1, Q2, Q3, R4, you will never remember that this R4 is in the same vertex, and it's impossible then to draw. So it's very good that she's using the same index for all the elements of the vertex with a different index, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? Is it okay or not? Is it clear? Again, if I'm too fast, it's your task to slow me down. Just literally ask me just to slow down if I'm going too fast. Very good. Now we ask for two vertices, say 4, 4. Now we can ask for two vertices, and here it is, you see? So there are now lots of terms, lots of phis, and she's not putting any phis with the same index. So you see, she's using alpha 629 for four of the fields and alpha 630 for the other four. Okay? Well, this is great. Now we can use any number of vertices and so on, and we know that the indices will always be different, and we are not worried about it. Excellent. Okay. Now, very good. By the way, let's... just to be sure, we will put here different examples of different stuff to compute. We are going to do weak contractions. So I want to make sure that I'm not going to do weak contractions of things that do not have an even number of fields. If the number of fields is not even, of course, the result of the weak contractions is zero. So we can count the number of fields. So we say, let's count in the weak contractions how many phi of something there is. And there are 10. And let's ask, is this even? Yes, it's true. Okay? So let's just put this test here so that whenever we will change this example of what we want to weak contract, we run this and we check. It's important for us to see always this true here. To make sure that the number of fields that we are weak contracting is even. Okay? Now we don't need to see what the output of 2 weak is. We know it's okay. So we put a semicolon at the end not to see it. And let me just remind you, and also if I'm going too slowly, you can also say that you already know this very well, but let me remind you that there are two evaluations. There is this delayed evaluation here, and there is this evaluation here. This delayed evaluation means that you have to wait till I tell you what n is to even try computing this. Don't compute it yet. Whereas here, I want Mathematica to compute now. Why? Because, okay, when I compute it now, she will choose some indices, and then, okay, we use those indices throughout the computation. If I would ask Mathematica, whenever I have a computation, to compute this 2 weak at every line, is as if you are doing your tensor manipulation and you use mu as a dummy index. Then the next line, you change mu to alpha. Then the next line, change mu to j. Now imagine someone reading your notes. Of course, you could. I mean, it's a dummy index. Who cares? But it will be a pain to just follow what you are doing, like changing your mu to some random Greek letter every time. Okay, very good. So this is the kind of thing we want to weak contract. Now we can go to the functions and define weak contractions. So So any proposal, how would you define weak contraction? Okay? So we want to take our function too weak and we want to write the weak contractions to weak contract all these fields and to write this as a sum over all possible kind of propagators. How would you do it? Any proposal? Or what's the general idea that we can try to use? How would you teach someone how to do weak contractions?
Identify?
That sounds too general. That's true for most problems in physics. But for weak contractions. Yes?
A loop.
What more specifics? What do you mean by a loop?
Start with one phi and link it to one of the other phis.
Exactly. In other words, let's do it recursively. Let's say to do weak contractions, we first take, say, the first field and contract with everyone else, right? And something remains, apply weak contraction to what remains. And this is enough, okay? So weak contraction can be defined recursively. We can say that weak contraction of just two fields, it's a propagator. Weak contraction of a product of fields is defined recursively. Start with a field, contract with any other field, and remove and apply weak contraction to the rest. And mathematics will recurse till there's only propagators, and then with contraction of propagators, we know what it is. Perfect. Very good. So it's very simple. We say that weak contraction apply to a product of fields. Now this is going to be a complicated one. So please focus. What will it be? Well, we create a block, and the first thing we do is convert this product of fields into a list. So we say list is equal to list applied to x. Okay? So let me explain what I'm doing. Here, remember, what is the tree form of this guy? It's times applied to all these fields, phi. Okay? What I want to do is replace these times by a list, to have a list of fields. But remember, to replace the head, we just apply list, and this replaces whatever it's in the head. In this case, it's times, because it's a product of fields. By list, okay? So you see these trees are exactly the same, but just one has times, the other has list, okay? So I start by first defining a list of fields. That's good. Then what I do is, as Nicole was saying, I will do a propagator between the first field, I contract the first field, and the field number j of that list, okay? And then I apply weak contraction to the rest. What's the rest? I take my list and I drop the first element and I also drop the, first I drop the element number j and then I drop the first element. Now this here, you see, this thing here gives me a list where I remove the two fields, but weak contraction doesn't ask for a list, it asks for a times. For a product. And now to this list, I replace this list again by a product. Okay? Is it clear? And now I sum over j, over the elements of this list, from 2 to the length of the list. Okay? And then I define, so, weak contraction of a product of fields, phi A with phi B. If it acts on a product of just two fields, this is equal to the propagator between phi A and phi B. Okay? This is it. This is weak contraction. It's done. Okay? This is just recursive. So let's try to see if this works. Let's do weak contractions. Let's first start with two fields. Apply to phi of k1 with phi of k2. It worked. Now let's do four fields. k1, k2, k3, k4. And it gives me all possible weak contractions between the fields. You see? This is the way one should think about weak contraction. Weak contraction is really something recursive. Take an element, contract with everyone else, as Nicole was saying, then do weak contraction of the rest. The rest, again, take one, contract with the other one, and take the rest, and it becomes smaller and smaller until there's only propagators to do. If I apply this to an odd number of fields, then it might be problematic because I'm trying to do this, and at some point I only have one field left, and so on. That's why I want to make sure I have an even number of fields, of course. So, any question here?
How do you write the angle brackets?
Angle brackets, scape, small scape, and then scape, big scape. So, scape, small scape, and scape, big scape. And this is the same as angle bracket, as you were saying, angle bracket of A, B. This displays in this way. So, these are how Mathematica thinks of this bracket. Okay? So, any question here?
Would you mind reminding us about block? Purpose and use of that?
Block just says, what I did there is I define a variable list and then I apply some manipulations to this list. Right? But I don't want list to be a variable that leaks out. If I now run what is list, if I ask Mathematica what is list, list is not defined. You see, it's blue. So block, inside the block, you can define variables that are only used inside block and that they don't produce garbage. So whenever you have temporary variables, it's useful to put them inside the block, not to create some garbage. Later, for example, we might define list to be a list of all the graphs. And we want to use the name list. We don't want to use it to be used for some intermediate computation. We want to keep it for some useful things. Very good. So you see, it's not very complicated. I mean, this is it. This is weak contraction. This is the main part of what I wanted to show you today. Let me just erase everything. Let's put here example. And here it is. Very good. Yes? Yes?
Would you mind explaining the two drops?
The two drops?
Yeah.
So what I do is what I do here is I first do the following. Okay, let's apply this. Okay, I can explain. So take this guy. Okay? This is a product, right? The head of this expression is times. Is it okay? So what we do is we apply list to this product, and now it's a list. Okay? Then we can drop out of this list. This remember, this is the last element of the previous operation. Drop element number 3. And drop, after removing that, the first element. And this gives a new list where the first and the third element were removed. Okay? Notice that it's important to do first the 3 and then the 1. Because if I do first the 1, what was before the third position now is the second. Okay? So if I remove first the first position, then there I should put J minus 1. Right. Very good. So here is the weak contraction. 9:30. Very good.
The angle brackets, are those just symbols for your own benefit?
Exactly. So if I ask, what is angle bracket? Exactly. That's absolutely true. Angle bracket is just a function that just displays in this nice form. Nothing. It has no meaning. I mean, it has no properties of linearity, of anything. It is just a display function. Like there are other that we used, for example, I think we used circle times in the first lecture that I gave you. Circle times, it's again just a function that displays nicely as this. So these are empty functions that are just here for our convenience, indeed. Okay, awesome, perfect. So now we can do, for example, weak contraction of phi of k1, phi of k2, and a vertex operator of degree 4. Okay? And here it is, phi of k1, phi of k2, and the vertex operator. And I get all these kind of terms. Okay, this is all the possible weak contractions between two fields and one vertex operator. Now, let's see what we have here. So we have particle 1 connected to the vertex, particle 2 connected to the vertex, and then there is one contraction of the vertex with itself. So this is the first graph there. Particle 1 connects to the vertex, particle 2 connects to the vertex, and then two legs of the vertex connect between themselves. Okay? Of course, there are many graphs like this, depending on which leg of the vertex I choose to connect, and all of them are equivalent, and we want Mathematica to know that. So there's a lot of work to do still to bring this to some nice canonical graphical form. Okay? But one thing at a time. But for now, we have the weak contractions done. This is already very useful. So let me think. What am I going to do now? Okay. So we have our weak contraction, and now weak contracted is just apply weak contraction to the stuff that we want to weak contract and expand if you want. But this expand is even useless. It's not doing anything. Just to open up all the brackets, and we have all these possible terms. We can see how many terms there are. There are 945 terms when we contract. That's okay. It's not very much. Very good. That's it. So now we can have a section plotting the graphs. Okay? And by plotting, I mean identifying graphs that are equivalent and so on. Okay? So let me minimize this section and minimize this one and ask whether there are questions about what we have done so far. Any questions? So actually, this notation I don't need anymore. So let's see here in this function, we contracted, and let's take the first element. So this is one example of one element that we want to convert into a graph. Okay? So let's do this one, which corresponds to that tadpole diagram there. Okay? So how would we convert this into a graph? Okay. So the first thing that you might see is that there are two kinds of indices here. There is an index which has alpha with some funny index because it's a dummy index, and then a 3 because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, which is the degree of the vertex. And then we have the external ones that only have a 1, a 2, or a 3, or a 4. Okay, in this case, only 1 and 2. Right? So it's useful for me to have all the indices appear in the same form. So even though the 1 is just 1, I want the 1 to look more like this kind of index. I want to think of this external guy as being a vertex of order 1, just a few. Okay? So I want to give it some brackets, even though it is just useless. It is just for my convenience, but it's useful, as you will see now, to do that. Okay? So instead of k1, let me put some empty brackets here. You see, I put 1, I know this looks a bit strange, it's 1 of nothing and 2 of nothing. Okay? So when I run this and I ask what is this, sorry, I have to run this weak contract. So we run this and we ask what's the first element. You see 1 appears with this empty bracket here. This means it's a vertex of degree 0, of degree 1. And this enters with some number, so it's an untrivial degree that goes from 1 to whatever. Very good. So this is the kind of object we want to convert into a graph. Okay, so let me show you that there is some option, graph plot. And if I say I want to plot some graph which has this connectivity, 1 goes to 2, 2 goes to, it doesn't need to be a number. It can be 2 goes to A, and A goes to 1. Okay? And I graph plot this, and I get this graph. Okay? So it is just a way of representing a bunch of elements. 1 goes to 2, 2 goes to A goes to 1. 1 second. And if you want, you can ask for to show the labels, to show the vertex. So you have something vertex going to true. I don't know by heart, so let me see. Of course, you would go into the help and find out immediately. So vertex labeling goes to true. And you see you have here a vertex where 1 goes to 2, 2 goes to A, and so on. You can ask, do you want to see the arrows, 1 going to 2 and so on? No, we are doing Feynman diagrams. There is no orientation in this particular case. But Mathematica knows of the orientation. And this is something we have to take care of. Now, there's something Mathematica is not very good at, but it's fine. So if I say that 2, for example, there's also a line 2 goes to 2, Then she will add a bubble there, you see? 2 going to 2 and so on. Now, Mathematica is good at drawing this kind of graph, but she's bad at manipulating it. So if we ask Mathematica to manipulate graphs, it's kind of tricky. If you say, what's the graph corresponding to this? It worked? I'm confused now. Okay, let me try again. 2 goes to 8. For example, this doesn't work, but it should work. So you see, this is perfectly fine. This just means that there is 2 lines between 2 and 8. You see, this is something we will have for sure. Like when we start doing loops, there, for example, in that third graph, of course, we have 3 lines going from A to B. We definitely have things like this. But for Mathematica, this is what she calls a multigraph and so on. And for some mysterious reason, multigraphs are not supported. So she can plot them perfectly, but she cannot manipulate them. So it's kind of a mystery to me, but it's true. Okay? So this is confusing. Yesterday I was preparing this lecture. I was a bit confused why this graph was not working, but okay. It's just the way it is. But it's not a problem. Graph plot works. But if you want to ask, for example, you have some graph like this. Okay? And there are nice things you can do. You can ask, for example, is this connected? And it's true. And if you have some disconnected part, like 3 goes to B, B goes to 3, it's false. Right? This would be some disconnected graph, like this, you see? So it's quite nice. But then as soon as you start manipulating things like this, it's not possible because it's not a multigraph. Even though we can perfectly well plot it, and of course it's connected, we cannot ask Mathematica if it's connected or not because it's a multigraph. So we will have to suffer to tell if a graph is connected or not, just because maybe there is a command that does it, but since I don't know it, we will have to implement at some point our own function to tell if a graph is connected or not. Very good, yeah.
Where did you put a square empty bracket, and for what purpose?
For what purpose? The purpose is not yet clear. It will become clear now.
But where do you put a square bracket?
I put in, I would say, one of nothing.
But, I mean, in a weak contraction, where did you put the expression?
Here. The index, instead of being 1 and 2, I put 1 of nothing and 2 of nothing.
Okay.
Okay. So now all indices of k are always of the form a of b, even if b is empty. Okay, so you see that the kind of things we are going to use to plot is graph plot. Okay? And now graph plot wants a replacement list. Wants 1 go to 2, 2 goes to a, and so on. Okay? So that's very simple. All we want to do is we want to go at our expression and replace this propagator by rules. We want to replace this by saying that k1 goes to k4 and so on, and replace this by rules. Okay? So let's try to do this. So first we convert this into a list. Okay? And now we replace angle bracket of K A and K B, replace this by a rule A going to B. What happened? Phi of K A, Phi of K B, replace this by this rule. And see, now I have a rule which tells that the particle 1 is connected to this vertex, particle 2 to this vertex, this vertex to this vertex, this vertex to this vertex, and so on. Is it okay? Yeah? It's okay? Now we have a replacement. Now we can ask to graph plot. Now this graph plot will give something like this. Totally boring. Right? Why? Well, because that's what it should be. Because each vertex is different. So what we want to do now is remove the bracket to say that alpha 8, 0, 4, 1, 2, or 3 are the same vertex. We want to remove, to plot it, we want to remove the bracket. Right? So of each of these guys, we want to remove the bracket and have alpha 8, 0, 4, 2, going to alpha 804. So we want to remove the bracket. Is it okay? Tick, tick, tick. 1 second. Yeah. So what we want to do is here, instead of A, to take the head of A and the head of B. So you see? So with A and B, you get this. With the head, you get this. One goes to this, and so on. And now we can graph plot. And now we have some nice graph. Okay? So this is with two vertices and lambda to the fourth. You see, this is two loops, actually. So one vertex here, you see, a loop. And this is how this looks like. Is it okay? Is it clear what we had to do? So notice that...
Can I ask?
Of course.
Can you explain how rule square brackets two objects inside
work? Yeah, rule of AB is a replacement. A goes to B. So by replacing this by this thing, we are giving Mathematica the output that she likes for graph plots. Okay? This worked for the first term of the weak contractions. Remember that there are many terms. So we expanded and there are 945 terms. We can apply to the term number 10, and it's the same graph apparently. To the term number 100, and wow, it's the same graph. This is very suspicious. For example, the 300 is different, for sure. 300 gives this one. 1 goes to 2, and then there is a disconnected part where the two vertices are connected to each other. Okay? So now we want to add up all these graphs. Okay? So, but first, let's remember that we want to apply graph plot of that object with labels. Vertex labeling goes to true. And let's apply some image size going to 200 or 150. This is just so that all graphs have the same canonical size. Okay, that's maybe a bit too small, 200. And you see, so here we have our graph. 1 goes to 2, so these are the external ones. And here some dummy index, alpha something, goes to alpha something. These are internal indices. Okay? These are just dummy integration variables. Now if we ask, what's the first one? Here it is. Let's see. 1 and 2 are the external ones, and these two are two internal vertices. But if I run other graphs, there will be one where here it will be 804 and here 805. This just means that I'm using two different vertices. But of course, it's again the same graph. Okay? So there is lots of redundancy, lots of graphs that are the same and that Mathematica doesn't know are the same. For example, all these graphs, they have orientations. We don't see, but there are secretly orientations. Of course, we don't care. Right? So graphs where A goes to B or B goes to A, it's just the same. And also there are labeling. You have here 805 and 804, and if they were exchanged, it would be exactly the same. Okay? We will take care of that in the due time. So, but for now, let me see if there's something I want to do more. Okay, so let's define this function. Let's now do something nice. So let me put a parenthesis here. And I want to remove this alpha. So first of all, well, let's slow down a bit. Is it clear why we were using now this index 1 with bracket? You see, because now this works. What would happen if I would keep k1, k2, k3, k4? Then at some point, I ask for the head of 1. Now, the head of 1 with a bracket is 1. Because I put the bracket there, so I oblige 1 to be the head. You see? Because it's 1 of something. So 1 bracket, if I ask what's the head of this expression, it's 1. But if I have just 1 and I ask what's the head of this expression, it's integer. So if I didn't put this funny bracket here in front of 1 and in front of 2, when Mathematica will take element number 0, which is the head, she will put integer. So if I didn't put that bracket here in this plot, instead of the 1 and the 2, I would see integer, integer. Oh, yeah? Which would just tell me it's an external guy, but I wouldn't know which one. Is it clear? Does this answer your question? You are asking why we put this bracket. Does it answer? Yes? You were asking.
I cannot get my square bracket work.
No.
You have put a square bracket. I ran 2 weeks. There's no square.
Here.
Yeah.
One, and then bracket, one, and then bracket. Such that when I ask what's the head of this guy, the head of a guy is the same as taking element number 6. I get 2. If I don't put this bracket, I would get integer. Okay, so this is just convenient. I mean, I'm sure there are more elegant ways of doing it. I just came up with this one, but of course, you are more than you should try to find your own ways of doing. Okay, now we have this object. Okay. And now, what do we want to do? What would you like to do now to make this nicer? Well, for example, you would like to remove these boxes for the internal ones, right? Maybe for the external ones, keep the boxes, but for the internal ones, it would be much nicer to have something like the things I was drawing there, right? With just a dot. Okay, so suppose we want to do it. So now this is hard. We want to say replace ugly boxes by nothing, just some empty text. Okay? But now I have to, okay, what are the ugly boxes, right? How do I find what's the pattern that corresponds to an ugly box? So I did not know. So what did I do? I went here to full form. And now I do full form of this graph and I see what this is. This is some animal and so on. And then I notice that there is here some funny thing, which is this, which is underlined, which is the following. It's text. You see, I click a couple of times until Mathematica selects the full object. And there he it is. Alpha 805. It's framed. Framed means it's in a box. And then there are lots of things. And this framed, when this framed ends, there are still some things inside the text. So what I want to do, and there is also the same command, but instead of alpha, blah, 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 I have 2 in the next line after the selection. So what I want to do is look for this kind of objects, which are text. Is it text? Yeah. Text of frame. Frame means inside a box of something. And then there's something else. And this goes to empty if B, the first element of B, which would be this alpha, blah, blah, blah. So I make B a list, and I take first element of B if it's not numeric. So if I ask, not a number. If it's not a number, it's one of this alpha, blah, blah, blah. If it's external one, then it's 1, 2, or 3, or 4, then it's a number. Okay? So this is a kind of a subtle part. But I just want to show you because this is often the case. You can manipulate anything. When you have some plot and so on, you make full form, and you look at the full form and you see there's some red. Then you make replacement. Red goes to blue. And bah, you change the plot. You don't need to rerun things before. Or you can manipulate anything in Mathematica, including plots and so on. It's very useful to know. If you want to change dashed lines and so on, it's often very useful to know this. So let's do that. Let's say if we have text of something which I've of this kind of pattern, frame A, comma B. This goes to just nothing if the first element of A is not a number. It almost worked. Why didn't it work? You see, it did work, but there's some problem. What's the problem? strange. What's going on? Sorry, I have to think of it. Okay, so this part is good, but then this part is not good. Funny, no? I have no idea what's going on. So I'm going to assume this is working, and let's see if it's some problem here. If I want to convert some term into a graph, this is what I apply to this term. And now let's try to apply to graph, apply to this. No. Yeah?
Is it because you are doing the replacing before the ampersand? But you should plot the graph first, then replace, right?
No, it's equivalent. It will give the same thing. Okay, so let's suppose this is working, because I'm going to copy from the other notebook the command that should be working. So let me just first write it in a way that you understand, and then we copy, and it should be exactly the same. So I'm going to compute. You give me some term, and I convert it into a graph. But if I did it already once before, I want Mathematica to memorize it to do it immediately. So remember how we taught Mathematica to memorize. So if you already did it once, just put here again two graph of term equal this. So this means that whenever you give me a term, so that I make the graph of that term, I run this. But what does running this means? It means assigning two graph of this term to this thing here. And then it's memorized. So this should be the command that should be perfect, and for some strange reason it's not. And when I run it to some graph, it should just work. So now let me copy it from another notebook where it must work, where I did it just exactly the same thing. To graph, you see, this canonical order is doing nothing here for now. Okay, so it seems like the problem is the only difference that I see is the following. Instead of using this rule, I used A goes to B. But this is the same as rule. What's the problem? Okay, so what's the difference between the first line and the second line? Can someone help me? Do you find any difference? Ah, there is some difference here. You see? This symbol are not the same. What's this? So this, indeed, doesn't look the same as this. So what's the difference? Okay, let me first check whether that's the problem. There's something strange. That was the problem. But I don't know how to insert this symbol, except copying, pasting. So what's the problem with this? This is just empty. Okay. So it's text of this. Okay, we are always learning. Okay, so the proper way of doing it would be, so let me erase everything. Okay, so two graph is this goes to, empty text. Okay, and now, if I want to convert to graph, apply to weak contracted one, I get the graph. So it was this empty symbol Mathematica was not being able to recognize. Okay? Now let me remove the brackets that are not needed. Let me put the way it was before, that was okay. Okay, so now we have a function that converts this to graph. If you see what's the weak contraction, 1 up to 5, the first 5 terms, this is what it is. If we convert this to graph, we get 5 times this graph, for example. The first 5 just give this. If we convert every one into a graph, this takes a bit longer, but the Mathematica will eventually do, and here are all the possible Feynman graphs. But we see that there's still work to do because some graphs are repeated. For example, the first and the second are clearly the same. Why are they the same? And why Mathematica doesn't know they are the same? Probably because this is vertex alpha 1, alpha 2, and this alpha 2, alpha 1. So there's still some work, but mostly it's done. This would already be pretty useful. This would probably be enough. We could now do by hand the double, just add up by hand the ones which are equivalent. This would probably be enough. But if we want to be perfectionists, we want to tell it that it's the same. So we are going to do it, but we are going to do it after a short break. So let's do like an half an hour break. OK? So I leave the notebook here. Should I zoom out? OK, so any question about this? Is this function clear? I know it took some debugging, but it was just this small detail here. So again, what we do is we take some term. That term must be a product. We convert that product into a list, then we replace brackets by rules, and then we graph plot it, and that's it.
When did you cause for the number, for example, 96 to appear instead of graphing 96 times?
This 96?
Yeah.
Because weak contraction, this weak contracted is a sum of graphs. So this is plus of a bunch of terms. And I'm applying graph to each of those terms. So I have a sum of graphs. If the graphs are the same, she just puts 96 times this graph. So this is the number of times this graph appears. Let's see if it is correct, just by the way. So we have how much? 96 plus 96 graphs, right? So let's see if this is correct. 96 plus 96, right? These are doubled. Do you agree? This is the graphs that we got. So what are we expecting to get? So let's see. We get this 96 plus 96. And we have to multiply it. So we expanded two vertices from the exponential. So there is 1 over 2 factorial from expanding the exponential. Yeah? That's correct? Then the vertices are of order 4. So there is a 1 over 4 factorial square. You agree? How much should this give? So this is the graph there, the 1 over 3 factorial, 1/6. So this is good. You see, now by just multiplying these graphs by this factor, I come with the correct, precisely the correct symmetry factor, 1 over 6. You see? So this indeed, the first two graphs, if I add them up, they would come multiplied by 1/6. Okay? So at the end of this lecture, we will have all these graphs with the correct symmetry factor, and then we can change to any theory we want, and we get all these numbers right. But as I said, let's make an half an hour break and restart in half an hour at 10:40. Okay? So I will leave the computer here. If you want, you can scroll up or down to see what's in this notebook. Okay? I leave these graphs. What do you want me to leave on the screen?
Everything.
Everything is not possible. The screen is finite. This part. This is probably the most important part.
Can you post on the wiki? Yeah, can you email to like the size student group? Like,
yeah.
Then they can just test it.
So what is it, size student? Okay?
Thank you.
Very good.